Good Monday afternoon, everybody. It is the 27th of February. I am coming to you once again from Ground Zero here in Charlottesville, Virginia. And today is an amazing day where we're going to unpack one of the things that has become most frustrating in the entirety of the COVID planned global shutdown project, global mass casualty project, which for some reason, neither Democrats nor Republicans, nor the media, nor anyone seems to be capable of understanding. And not unlike the work I did in the early 2000s, when it was very unpopular to suggest that the United States government might have had something to do with the anthrax outbreak, when it ultimately turned out the anthrax actually came from the U.S. Department of Defense. Today, I'm going to slow the tape down, kind of like a bad football replay, and see if the refs on the field are even capable of getting it right. Forget getting it right. Whether the refs on the field are capable of getting it right. Because as most of you know, we have had a very interesting set of developments in the last several days. And to give you an idea of what those developments look like, I want to start off by showing you the official press that we have been told we need to be aware of, that is this wonderful breakthrough that has just recently come to light, which is that according to a classified Department of Defense report that we've been told is actually an important part of the ongoing inquiry of people who really do, in fact, want to get to the bottom of stories and they want to know the truth. It turns out that, according to the media, Republicans have erupted after the Energy Department, in a classified report, says that the COVID-19 pathogen likely came from a Chinese lab. And now, if you listen to any of the news outlets this morning on the conservative side, we found out that this is the hardest, most difficult, most unbelievable reality to face, that maybe after all this time, the Trump administration and the Biden administration have been supporting the lie told by Anthony Fauci, which stated very clearly that we had a bat and a pangolin who apparently walked into a bar one night in Wuhan and thus began the world carnage called COVID-19. And the fact of the matter is, the Department of Energy report, which unfortunately we don't have the copy of because it is allegedly classified, decided to put a weak confidence. I like the fact that they are saying that they have a low confidence interval. They're unwilling to be able to come across the finish line with an unequivocal assessment, but they're pretty sure that the wet market story is full of wet market doo-doo. They're possibly pretty sure that there was probably something to do with the Wuhan Institute of Virology lab, and they're pretty sure that they need to get to the bottom of it. So on the talk radio and talk TV in the last 24 hours, we have heard all sorts of amazing stories about how the Republicans are going to do an investigation. They're going to get to the bottom of it because the American people need to have an answer. Anthony Fauci needs to be held accountable, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And all the while, they're hoping, and by they, I mean the Republican Party, both the Republican Party of Donald Trump and the Republican Party that is currently getting ready for its CPAC convention next week in Washington, D.C., that Republican Party is wanting to convince us that they're going to get to the bottom of where this thing came from. And tragically, they are getting a vast majority of the American people to think that the Trump narrative of the China virus, which we heard in and out of every single press conference over the period of 2020, we're supposed to think that that's where the story is. But I got some bad news for you. And by the way, this bad news is not new to anybody. If you read the Fauci dossier, if you read any of the work that I published, if you were sitting with Ron Johnson, the senator who is allegedly at the pointy end of the spear, and listen to anything that I said when I said it back then, you would know that there is a single document that we have to read, just one. And we need to read that document because it turns out if we read it, we would actually stop with this BS story that says somewhere along the line we have to do an investigation. This is as ridiculous as the anthrax investigation. We know where it came from. We know who did it. We know the dates that they did it. We know all of those things. And if you look carefully at the screen behind me, you'll see that on September of 2019, and I'll just move enough so you can see the cover of the World Health Organization publication, you see that by September of 2019, not only did they know what we were going to get, we actually have the picture of the coronavirus right there on the cover of the September 2019 issue of A World at Risk published by the World Health Organization. And in the not so fine print in the early pages of that report, we find out that we are going to have a world exposure to an accidental or intentional release of a respiratory pathogen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is an operative term that's important to actually highlight in the sentence that is in their document from September of 2019. And the word was release. It's funny how the media continues to insist that there was either a leak or somehow a natural zoonotic transfer, but nobody is bothering to read the actual words written by the perpetrators themselves, which said release. You know what that means? Somebody with intent let it out. This is not a oops, it got away. This is a word that they used, and the word that they used was release of a respiratory pathogen. But now we have to sit back and say, well, Dave, release of a respiratory pathogen, who would have anything to gain from that? And conveniently, the Moderna report that just came out helped us clarify the what and the why. And I'm going to go ahead and add this to the stream with enough screen resolution that hopefully some of you can see it. I will also post the link into the chat on the YouTube channel and on wherever else anybody can share it, because it's helpful to make sure that you see it straight from the horse's mouth. It turns out that if we look at precisely what Moderna said in its recently published report, it said the cost of sales was $1.9 billion, or 39% of product sales, for the fourth quarter of 2022, including third-party royalties of $604 million, of which $400 million related to a catch-up payment to the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease for a new royalty-bearing license agreement executed in December. I want you to stop and read what is on this screen right now. Moderna is paying NIAID, Anthony Fauci's organization, which, by the way, executed a royalty-bearing license in December. That's before Anthony Fauci went off on his merry way, where $400 million was paid to NIAID for a new royalty-bearing relationship. And the agreement provides for a low single-digit royalty on future COVID injection sales. Ladies and gentlemen, this is exactly the racketeering, the pump and dump. This is exactly the racketeering, the entire now Ponzi scheme that we can add to all the other crimes that I've been talking about since the beginning of this pandemic. And lo and behold, in black and white, we have an unambiguous statement that says that we, the people, are now paying out of the royalties. We are paying NIAID, Anthony Fauci's own organization, $400 million for the privilege of having a sole source contract provided by none other than the perpetrators of this particular outbreak. And the news is that no one in Congress, not a single person in Congress, not Ron Johnson, not Rand Paul, not Ron Paul, not anybody, not any governor, nobody in any party, Republican or Democrat, is taking this particular issue head on. But the criminals are promoting and laughing in our face while we sit there and watch them state explicitly that they are now paying the kickback for the deal that they got. So that's the incentive. But this is where we need to actually take a step back down memory lane and do some really hard examination. And this show is going to be that hard examination. Now, I have made reference to this article more times than I can count. And what's important to realize about this particular article, if you're not paying attention, and once again, I will post the link because it's important for me to have all the references. I'll post the link here in the chat. But the article that I'm going to call your attention to is one that requires me to move myself off the screen so that I can talk you through it as much as I can on the format that we have here. I encourage you to have a look at this entire document in its full grandeur. But for the time being, let's have a look at what this is. Let's start with the language of the title. The language of the title that says SARS-like WIV1 COV poised for human emergence. And then what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to read the very small print that actually lives down here, that this article was received for review on September 4th, 2015, and was approved for printing on January 6th, 2016. So we have a period of roughly 4 plus or minus months during which time this was under review. And remember, this was under review during the gain of function moratorium. That wonderful pause in doing gain of function research that apparently Ron Paul still has in his entire interactions with Anthony Fauci, no ability to actually hold Fauci accountable for. But during that gain of function moratorium, what happened was there was a selection of pathogens brought over from China. And what we found in a preliminary review of those particular pathogens, we found out that WIV1, right here, you see WIV1. That is Wuhan Institute of Virology Virus 1, COV spike, are poised to emerge in the human population and, due to the efficient replication, in primary human airway epithelial cell cultures. Now, what's important about that? We said that we were going to have an accidental or intentional release of a respiratory pathogen. And it turns out that the spike protein modification that was part of the Wuhan Institute of Virology Virus 1, COV, happened to do a great job of replicating and infecting human airway epithelial cells. But here's where it gets really fun. And we're going to go ahead and just pop up to the wonderful sentence that we have here, which is using the SARS-CoV infectious clones as a template. Let's stop with that. Using SARS-CoV infectious clones. This is not a product derived from nature. This is a synthetic clone. We designed and synthesized a full-length infectious clone of WIV1-COV. And you should ask me right now, Dave, who's the we in this conversation? Who's the we that is building an infectious clone of WIV1-COV, including all of the terrible components that we know make it infectious? And the answer is that it is, in fact, the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And we also did it by actually adding, check this out, a SARS spike protein that was replaced with the Wuhan Institute of Virology Virus 1 spike protein within the mouse-adapted backbone of the model. Let's stop and get this really clear. The thing that killed Americans and continues to kill Americans was engineered from an infectious clone. It was not a naturally occurring phenomenon. It was, in fact, something that by their own admission was engineered, and not in China. It was engineered in the United States. And why are no members of Congress, why are no governors willing to have this conversation? Well, the answer is very simple. You don't get to the internal pat on the back and cash in the pocket deal that we just saw with Moderna and that we've seen for over a decade with UNC Chapel Hill if you actually investigate the real source. Because if you investigated the real source, you'd realize that NIH and NIAID and the National Academy of Sciences and the National Institute of Health are all part of the criminal conspiracy that gave rise to this problem, as evidenced by the $400 million payment I just showed you. But let's get a little bit further into this. This is really cool. We wanted this to be replicatable in human epithelial cells. We didn't want it in a mouse model. We wanted it in humans. Next, we wanted to determine if the Wuhan Institute of Virology Virus 1 COV replication potential in models of the human lung previous examination of WAV1 COV recovered from bat samples demonstrated poor replication. However, replication of epidemic SARS is also poor in this cell type, potentially due to the ACE2 receptor expression levels. Therefore, well-differentiated primary human airway epithelial cells were infected with the Wuhan Institute of Virology Virus 1 mouse-adapted pathogen and WIV1-COV and SARS-CoV urbani and SARS-CoV MA15. And at the time of 24 and 48 hours post-infection, both WIV1-MA15 and WIV1-COV produced robust infection in human airway epithelial cells. And then we get the smoking gun. Then we put it in vivo. What does that mean? That means that we actually put a known, infectious, manufactured clone of a known to be harmful to human lungs into living animals. And we did it where? Not inside of the Wuhan Institute of Virology in Wuhan, China. We did it at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, in violation of all of the statutes prohibiting the work on amplifying biologic agents for the purpose of weaponizing them against humanity. These are criminal admissions of violations of 18 U.S. Code, and to date, not a single member of Congress, not a single attorney general, not a single prosecutor anywhere in this country, not a single governor, no one is willing to have the courage and or fortitude to actually look at the published admissions. Published admissions that are right here on the page in front of you. Now you can sit back and say, but Dave, did they really know they were doing something wrong? Well, the answer, I hate to break it to you, is that they did. Not only did they were very specific in saying what they did was actually a problem. But I want you to look very carefully at the fact that the construction of the chimeric SARS-like viruses were done and designed using published sequences based on the SARS-CoV infectious clone. Why is that important? That's important because this was not drawn from nature. It was not sampled from nature. It was not derived from nature. This was manufactured in the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill laboratories. The synthetic and chimeric mutant full-length WIV1 was done there and approved by the UNC Institutional Biosafety Committee. That's a problem. Let's go on to look at the other problems. We actually have in vivo infection, massive problem. But let's look at the one that I like the most. Let's read these two beautiful admissions right here. Biosafety and biosecurity. Reported studies were initiated after the University of North Carolina Institutional Biosafety Committee approved the experimental protocol. Project title, Generating Infectious Clones of Bat SARS-like COVs, Lab Safety Plan, etc., etc. These studies were initiated before the U.S. government deliberative process research funding pause on selected gain-of-function research involving influenza, MERS, and SARS. That, by the way, is the gain-of-function moratorium. It's just the whole length of it under the public health description of that moratorium. And the current paper has been reviewed by the funding agency. You know what that means? NIAID. They read it. They reviewed it. They approved the publication of this and the protocol that was done. And then let's look at what they say next. Continuation of these studies has been requested and approved by NIH. In other words, not only did Anthony Fauci knowingly and willfully lie in violation of federal law in Congress, but Anthony Fauci continued these studies and requested additional studies, and it says it right in black and white. And then we read the last acknowledgement. We thank Dr. Zhengli Shi of the Wuhan Institute of Virology for access to the bat COV sequences and plasma of the WIV1 COV spike protein. Research was supported by the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease and the National Institute of Aging of the NIH under the awards, blah, 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 to RSB. Who's RSB? Who is RSB? Who was the one who was the agent who was then selected in January and February of 2020 to mislead the world in declaring that SARS-CoV-2 was a novel, never seen it before, never knew about it before, never could have been done before? Who did we ask to make sure that we got the designation that the SARS-CoV-2 was novel? Oh, that's right. The very criminal that created it. It's like asking a murderer to be the one who assesses the ballistic study on the gun and on the bullet, and wondering if there's any motivation that that murderer might have to do something, I don't know, untoward with that kind of analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't I wonder how we're going to get to the bottom of it conversation. And I'm actually embarrassed at the Republican Party in the House right now for the fact that they continue to pretend like they are somehow placating this giant public need to get to the bottom of this story, when not a single one of them has the decency and integrity of actually looking at the facts. Not one of them. No one is willing to address this, and it is not just that they're not willing to address it. They are actively suppressing it by pretending that they're going to do an investigation with the Department of Energy Research that comes up with this Pollyannish description of a low confidence interval on anything. We've got a problem. We've got a problem, and the problem that is happening right now is that we are being duped into believing there's accountability, and it's worse. It is worse to cover up the crime when you know it's a crime than to actually do so in ignorance. And that is the reason why I'm calling out the House investigation right now on coronavirus and on SARS-CoV-2. They are willfully misleading the public into the illusion of doing anything that is ultimately substantive. And the reason they're doing it is because they can't afford the political cost of calling into question the ultimate criminal racket that has pervaded this country since 1980, the criminal racket of captive agencies, captive federal government authorized agencies, which are captive federal funded agencies who are willing with impunity to get into organized crime rackets with state universities and other universities for the economic benefit of those institutions to criminally conspire to create pathogens known to harm humans. And since the passage of the Bayh-Dole Act in 1980, the entirety of this racketeering position has been known, has been promoted, has been evidenced time and time again. And to date, no member of Congress has had the integrity to tell the American people that we need to shut down that criminal racket. That's why they're not willing to talk about it. That's why, as much as you can talk about, well, there should be a conversation on Tucker Carlson or on Joe Rogan, neither Tucker Carlson nor Joe Rogan have the courage to take on this topic, because this topic strikes at the heart of the criminal racket that is not just behind COVID-19. This strikes at the criminal racket of the way in which we administer the captured public agency and public institution funding mechanisms in this country. And if you'd go after that, you wouldn't get reelected, because it turns out that you need to have that money supply flowing back into states if you want to get elected. And there is no question that the reason why no one is willing to have this conversation is because it's too hot to handle, which is the reason why I'm having this conversation. The fact of the matter is, we the people are currently subject to a criminal conspiracy that is ongoing right now. The evidence is right in front of our face. There is no ambiguity. And for every person who took and was injured by a shot, I want you to know this very clearly. Moderna just paid NIAID a $400 million kickback so that they could have the privilege of injecting an experimental gene therapy into you. Feel good about that. And feel good about the fact that for the last 4 years, I have been actually on regular occasions bringing this information to the public visibility. And to date, I have not had a single statement that I have ever made, not one, where I've had to retract or modify the truth of the evidence I've put in front of you. Will it be a giant blow-up show where millions of people watch this? Well, you know what? That's now on you. The fact of the matter is, we have the evidence. You now have it. And it is incumbent on each and every one of you to do the right thing. Share this on every platform you can share it. Share it on your YouTubes, on your Twitters, on your LinkedIns, on all of the different platforms you have. Share it, share it, share it, and see if anybody actually gives a rip. Because I do, but I'm not sure that anybody else does. And it's now time to see if we can actually push this message into a place where it can be heard alongside of the lies that were promoted today by the Republican Party, saying they were going to hold people accountable for a China lab leak story. Well, not one of them, even suggested that maybe the investigations should start close to home. There's a challenge. Why don't you actually take this challenge and see if we can make a difference together? Thanks, and have a good day. Bye.